Blog Talk Radio.
Talk about tonight. Most the thing I think is the liaison scene. I haven't seen them, but what I've heard from everyone, great job, they are moving to liaison. Anyone that doesn't believe that is crazy. You know, we are going to get our couple back, and you know when we do, there's going to be a lot of I told you so from this, you know, from this host, because liaison is coming, people. You can't either get on the liaison boat and, you know, you can just, you know, try and be positive, try and be a be about, or you can get off the liaison boat and, you know, and go for another couple that will make you want to vomit and go to sleep and poke your eyes out with, you know, a knife or whatever. I don't know. I'm bringing my co-host on to...
Hello. Hi. Yeah. I just got back from Walmart, so that's why I called in. I called in on time. I thought I was going to be late, but I just got back from, I got my mom on Mother's Day. I got her like a cactus flower or whatever she likes, little potted plant or whatever. So she likes stuff like that. So, yeah. And I'm actually looking forward to One Life to Live, I'm so into One Life to Live these days. It's like I'm more into One Life to Live right now than I am wondering what's going on with General Hospital. I mean, I watched the scenes between Jason and I haven't watched the scenes for today. So, but the scenes that they had yesterday, oh my God, the chemistry, they still have it. I was almost in tears with them yesterday. You could just see the emotion flying out of the fucking TV set. I don't understand.
Oh, yes.
I do not understand why the powers that fucking be don't put them fucking together.
We have a 860 caller. Okay. Let's bring her on, too. 860, you're on the air with us.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Nathan, right?
David.
David. Oh, David.
Oh, hey, David.
Hi, David.
I called in early.
Hey, David, have you been watching One Life to Live lately?
Oh, of course.
I love John and Natalie are my favorite couple. Well, I've always loved John and Natalie, and I stopped watching One Life to Live, but when they brought him back together, but now they're apart again. It's like, what the heck? They can't get a break, that couple.
It's like half the people in that town belong in St. Anne's, and the other half escaped from St. Anne's.
I know. She was taken out of there way too soon. I don't think John realizes that she's crazy as shit. You know.
She's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. Supposedly she's gonna stab Kelly and Liam's gonna be in danger.
No offense on the actress, but Marty has this just obnoxious horse laugh.
Oh,
you notice that?
I'll have to go back and watch her.
Watch the way
or something.
She laughs, and you can see the way her teeth look. She looks like a horse. A horse in the nose. She looks like a horse when she laughs.
I liked Marty back in the day. I liked her, but they've just written her so not Marty, you know?
I love the way Todd handled it with Jack.
Oh,
honestly,
that was good. That was really
honestly,
good.
God, he handled it with a lot more patience.
Yeah,
and respect than I would have. I mean, I expected him to go Homer Simpson on his son's neck. Why, you little? I expected him to start choking Jack after that crack about Marty. I mean, granted, Marty's crazier, you know. Then again, a lot of them are going crazy. Echo. Oh my God, where do I even begin on Echo? Cody Savoy. The woman just boggles the mind. How could you do this to me? She said, everything that happened was her own damn fault with all the lies and scheming.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I wrote this down. I wanted to read this to you. This is just one of my opinions on Echo. I wrote this down on a message board earlier today. You know, on Soap Central. All right? This is what I wrote on Soap Central this afternoon. This was after rewatching yesterday's episode and thinking it through. And you were talking about how everyone's laughing at Charlie, but also applauding him for telling off Echo. This is what I said about it. Well, what I feel sorry for about Charlie is that his addictions truly kept the blinders on him vis-a-vis Echo de Savoy. He was played by her like a 10-cent flute, and her secrets led to his cheating on Vicky in the first place. Okay? He is going to his most vulnerable and self-destructive impulses were triggered by Echo's lies about Rex's paternity. Now, addictions come in all sizes and flavors. There's no one-size-fits-all to being addicted. While he may have been sober, quote-unquote, from drinking alcohol, Echo was as much of an addictive crutch as the alcohol ever was. And the end result is still the same. He made decisions revolving around Echo, which torpedoed his marriage, his trust, and any respect that anyone had in him. Echo was literally a walking, talking bottle of vodka to him. And the saddest part is he would have been arguably better off if he had taken a drink instead of going to Echo, because at least the booze doesn't scheme to get you into bed.
Hmm.
You know? And that brings up another subject. When you want to talk about General Hospital, this whole thing with Luke Spencer and his drinking. Luke has this myopic view that alcoholism equals the way his father Tim behaved. But that doesn't mean that all alcoholics are violent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Addiction comes in all flavors, in all sizes, and sometimes in all shapes. You can be addicted to eating. You can be addicted to watching a TV show to the point where you, you know what I'm saying, obsessively watch the back episodes on Netflix for hours on end. And
you know what?
But
here's the thing. I don't think Luke is an alcoholic. I'm sorry. I don't. You know,
and I'll tell you why. Luke, his drinking, he's been doing it for years. And yes, he has been.
Well,
he's been functioning with the drink. But the thing is,
I have a problem with that because I grew up with my dad always drank, and my sister's an alcoholic, and so I never saw it.
No, I still don't. I'm sorry. We have an alcohol on it.
Oh, okay.
You too. 413, you're on the air. Hi, Silas.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
Hello, Silas.
Welcome to the party.
Welcome to the funeral. Listen, Carly, first of all, I owe you an apology. This has been the week from hell for us. We've been working since last Friday night on a project. You know, I haven't had time, to be honest with you. I mean, we worked all weekend last. We put in 37 and a half hours last weekend working on a project for one of our customers. And all week it's been hell. I mean, it's Friday night, and I think it's only Wednesday. That's how crazy it's
been. Oh, wow.
You know, and I just wanted you to be aware. I just saw some of your DMs, and I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. I'm just buried.
Oh, that's
right
okay.
Now. No, it's
I figured
not
you were busy.
That's rude. I feel like I'm being rude, and you're one of my heroes, you know. I want to keep you in the loop.
No, it's okay. I figured you were busy because I looked on your tweets, and but you haven't given up the fight. I mean, you didn't walk away.
You're doing a fantastic job with everything so far, and you're trying to
let me tell you what's going. Let me tell you what's going on with the fight, so that everybody understands where we're at right now. Like you all know, we've been developing a web portal that is completely independent from any other soap site, completely independent from Facebook. That's going to be for the soap audience. I don't like using the word fans anymore. We need to be soap viewers and the soap audience.
I agree with that because in reflection, fan comes from fanatic, and fanatic has some very unpleasant connotations to it.
That's correct.
The problem is some of that's starting to show on some of the Facebook groups.
Well,
okay.
I think what we've seen this week, David, to be perfectly blunt, what I've seen happening this week is we're starting to separate the wheat from the chaff. And the reasonable audience, those that, you know, are starting to look at the bigger picture, are starting to realize, oh, my God, we have something here that we didn't realize we had before. And that's why these video diaries for the next 2 weeks, those are very, very important. We need to keep video diaries of who's advertising on what during soap operas. That's number one. Number two, as people come around and join this cause, I mean, this new web portal is going to be completely audience-driven. The Leadership Council will have ultimate say. I'm not even going to dictate what goes on over there once I turn it over to them. That's going to be up to them. I'm listing a list of guidelines, a list of goals that we have to reach, but it's going to be up to the Leadership Council and the committees they have to come up with the plans that they're going to do to prop up the genre. In the meantime, yes, there is a business model that's being put together. It is, you know, it's being worked on behind the scenes. We have been in touch with attorneys who have looked at the plan to give us the legal feedback on what we can do. I'm not going to get into the logistics of that because to do so would hurt our chances in negotiating something. I think people have to respect that we're at the level now where there are folks who are willing to sit at the table in good faith effort behind the scenes to come up with business solutions that work for daytime. Daytime will never be what it was. We all have to accept that fact. It will never be what it was.
Well, because one of the problems with daytime is that people are still focusing on the way it was in the 1950s, where people thought it was just for housewives who were sitting at home. It's not just that anymore. We're talking about people from multiple generations, kids, parents, grandparents of both sexes watching the show.
That's correct.
Okay? It's become a lifeline of discussion for everyone.
And what's going to happen is, I think you'll see as this whole thing evolves, if it takes off, and we have a lot of hope that it will, as this evolves, you're going to see that there is a way of doing this that is more effective, that is more cost effective, and will bring new audiences to the table, which is something that daytime hasn't done in 10 years. And one of the reasons for that is that studio executives have had too much say over what a head writer can and can't.
Yes.
And that's now,
pressuring the writers as well. Pressuring the writers.
Well, I want to talk about General Hospital for a second because I came in while you guys were talking about Luke.
Right.
Let me tell you something. That intervention episode that they showed on General Hospital last week, if you don't think the writers know what they're doing at General Hospital, then you missed the whole point of that episode.
Mm-hmm.
That episode had some of the best writing that show has seen in years.
It was amazing. It was truly
in my mind.
Amazing.
I mean, I agree. I agree with that. I do.
The only thing I had a qualm with that is that Bobby wasn't involved, that Jacqueline Zeman wasn't brought in for this. I mean,
well, I'll tell you, not only Jacqueline.
Okay, let's be honest, David, for a minute. The reason why Jacqueline Zeman wasn't on there, because Fonzie, God willing, Fonzie did not run people over.
Let's not do the Fonz bashing right now because we've done that for weeks. Let's move on to the fact that there were some shortcomings.
Wait. I don't have to move on to anything, David. I'm just saying that in my mind, the reason why Bobby wasn't back for listening to Benson. Bobby wasn't back when Colby really needed her with Jacqueline. So let's get one thing straight in, Fonzie, that Hannah had Jacqueline Zeman on. I think Jacqueline Zeman would love to come back, but she had a really bad facelift, and she never needed a facelift. She always looked wonderful. So I'm sorry, I am not moving on from that point. That is the truth out there.
Well, you know,
you're right. Jackie has always been a beautiful woman, and I've watched her on QVC when she's been selling her product line on QVC. She's an amazing woman.
I'll tell you something. As far as this whole Jackie Zeman thing goes, I agree. The fact that Bobby was not part of this whole thing is a problem, but I think we all have to understand that ABC Daytime right now is in a very, very uncomfortable position. They've canceled two shows.
The whole network is in a free fall.
They're in a free fall. They've canceled two shows. And as I have been saying for weeks, General Hospital is going to head to the chopping block. And the thing that people have to understand is, unless we do something proactively now to prop up the genre, there will be no soap opera anywhere by the end of 2014, and this is my point.
I have to give kudos to the fans who paid their money and bought that ad in the Hollywood Reporter.
Well, you know, I give kudos to the fans for buying that ad in the Hollywood Reporter, but I think that $3,200 could have been spent elsewhere, to be perfectly blunt, because let me tell you something. I would have rather have seen a smaller ad in Variety, number one. Number two, I think we all have to start looking. You know, I've been very, very concerned about people out there asking for donations for this cause and that cause. You know,
I think the reason why that they did the ad in the Hollywood Reporter was in response to Franz's comments that no one really watched it. So considering how much money went into paying for that ad, how many people contributed to that ad. Okay.
That was more of a
statement back to Franz.
Well, you know
what, guys, we have
another
call on the air.
Okay.
416, you're on the air with us.
Hi, it's Andrea.
Hey.
Hi, Cassandra.
How you doing, Cassandra?
Is that my crispy?
It's Andrea.
Andrea?
It's not Cassandra. That's Cassandra.
I can't hear it. I can't hear the caller call.
No, I can't. Can you try calling back?
I just want to go back to that that Hollywood Reporter ad for a minute and the $3,200. And I'm going to say this much, David, with regard to that. In 2001, the Another World Committee got together and raised $5,000 to get a park bench in Central Park with a plaque on it that's commemorating Another World's history in daytime. The plaque sits on that bench today in Central Park near the bridge where Mac and Rachel walked across in Central Park years ago. And $5,000 in 2001 is like $10,000 today. And the bottom line to me is we need to have more if we're going to spend money on anything, let's be a little more tangible about what we spend it on. And
like
right
like spending money on perhaps maybe towards a studio that we need and all that other stuff that we would kind of need to get –
Well, I mean, right now there are a lot of things going on behind the scenes. That there are a lot of things being discussed about how we can reinvigorate the genre. There's been a lot of debate. It's being kept out of the public eye at the moment because we've brought people in who understand what we're going through, and it's like, listen, this is the way it is. This is what we're thinking. What do you think? And, you know, I made a big mistake last August when I came out with this soap proposal for As the World Turns and released the whole thing up front and said, this is what I'm thinking. Big mistake on my part because the audience base, with all the fan wars and everything else, ripped the damn thing apart and it just got nowhere.
And that's why that particular soap didn't survive, right?
That's right. And the bottom line is, fans, I'll just say,
people who get together based on the feelings instead of on the facts, it's going to be like a feeding frenzy, and that's the problem. And you'll forgive me for saying so. I know their hearts are in the right place, but we need some real thinking, not talk.
Well, David, I'm gonna tell you something, and I think this is something that the viewer base has to understand. Part of this feeding frenzy is being fueled by self-interested people with an agenda. I think that some of the feeding frenzy is being fueled by studio interns. I think some of the feeding frenzy is being fueled by the soap media because of their abject failure in addressing the problems head-on 10 years ago. And what's happening is right now there are a bunch of sharks in the water that are fighting for survival. You know, it's not only about soap opera, about the actors and the writers and the crew. Think about this for a minute. The soap media is worried about their jobs as well. The soap media has a collective concern that they could be out of work in another year, and they're all cutting each other's throats left and right. And what I've said
to soap
media,
that's my concern, that they're burning bridges as well.
Well, they are burning bridges, and this is what I have said to certain members of the soap media behind the scenes. Listen, you have an opportunity now. You have an opportunity to live up to your journalistic integrity and take a stand. If you want to survive this mess, you need to take a stand and decide what you're going to do because you're going to be out of a job if you don't. And certain members of the soap media will come around over the next few weeks. Certain members of the soap media will not. Just like the major websites out there, certain website operators are going to make it. Certain website operators are going to crash and burn. And behind the scenes, I have a list of all those who I think will crash and burn. The bottom line is everybody needs to make a decision. Are you going to fuel the frenzy and fuel the fan wars, or are you going to get on board and do the right thing and do something for the genre? It's about the economy. And people have to understand there are thousands of jobs on the line across the board here, and this is what we need to talk about.
And more than just the jobs, it's the passion and creativity of not just the writers, but the actors and the set designers.
That's correct.
Everyone who has put their heart and soul into telling these stories that have reached out to millions upon millions of people. And
bridged the gap
between generations. I mean, they have done something that no other program has ever done. I mean, I'm sure there are shows that you can talk about around the water cooler like Desperate Housewives, but Desperate Housewives got its start from the soap genre.
Well, then, you know, not for anything. This is something that, first of all, if you are a soap viewer and you are in a position where you feel embarrassed to admit it, I'm challenging you to come out of the closet. It's about time you came out of the closet and said, hey, yeah, I'm a soap viewer.
I know. So for some people, it's harder to admit you're a soap fan than to admit you're gay in some cases.
Well, you know what? You know what? Most males who watched soap opera 30 years ago were gay. But guess what? A lot of straight men do watch soap opera. And if you don't believe me, look at the Dunkin' Donuts commercials.
And not only that, but what about all of that stuff with, like, The Bold and the Beautiful, which is all focused around the fashion world? Men watch that.
Bold and the Beautiful is extremely popular in Europe. In Portugal, there was a time when in Portugal, everybody was obsessed across the board for Bold and the Beautiful, okay?
Right.
And what I'm trying to do is, if you see somebody who watches primetime and they're into Grey's Anatomy or they're into even a Smallville or they're into Desperate Housewives or L.A. Law even or SVU
that wonderful show that NBC did that unfortunately right now is off the air because not canceled but they've done their season. I highly recommend it. If you ever get a chance to watch it, Harry's Law is a great show.
Kathy Bates is one of my heroes. I love Kathy Bates.
I know. I love
show.
Her work. I absolutely adore her work. And, honestly, I thought she would be great on one of the soaps. She'd be fantastic.
There's an interesting thing going on here that most people don't know, and I want to bring this up because I can't stay too long. I've got a lot on my plate tonight. John Stamos and Demi Moore had a 45-minute conversation the other night about General Hospital and about the state of daytime. And Demi Moore and John Stamos are very, very concerned. My issue with them is this. If you're that concerned, why aren't you hitting the talk show circuit and talking about
it? Why aren't you being
more public about it? You know, these are the things that, you know.
I mean, didn't both of them get their start on daytime?
Yes, they did.
They did.
And
John Stamos got his start as Blackie
Brian
on General Hospital.
Brian Phillips is another one. He's another one that got his start on daytime as well.
Go ahead, Carl.
No, Silas.
No, the thing is, Stamos and Demi Moore had a conversation about it, and I thought that was very poignant, that on some level they get what we're trying to do. And this is my message to the viewers right now. Stop feeding the fan frenzy. Stop listening to the rumors. What you need to do, if you want this mission to succeed, you need to start thinking in terms of business and from a sane perspective.
We have another call. I'm 9192. You're on the air.
Hi, Carly.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Good.
No, that wasn't me before.
Who's this?
This is Cassandra. Hi, Silas. Hi, David.
If it wasn't for your prayers to the good Lord above, I don't know how I would have survived this week.
I've been praying for you too, though.
Thank you. But let me tell you something. Cassandra's got a pipeline because every now and then Jesus appears and says, "That angel over there, she's taking care of you." It's been a week. I got your DM, by the way, Cassandra, and I will be responding to it before the weekend's over. Everything's coming together on that end. I just want to say something here, Carly, that's really important. And you have a listener base, and your listeners have friends, and they're out there on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. We need to start thinking rationally. We need to start looking at this quickly.
I was wondering.
I thought too.
I know. I was wondering the same thing.
What's that?
Carrie, what is that?
I thought I had you guys on mute. I wasn't talking to you. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
I just had a thought. You guys were mentioning about John Stamos and Demi Moore. Why can't we get them on Carly's show? Why can't we get people who have
We're going to be working on that. There are a few people we want to talk to, and, you know, Carly and I will be talking next week sometime about a couple of things that we want to do. My show will be going back on sometime in May, as soon as I get my schedule squared away. But there are some things I want to do with Carly. There are some things I want to do with other Blog Talk Radio hosts. The whole thing is this. We're either all in this together or we're not. And the thing is, this new web portal is a place where everybody can come and share their ideas and work together to try to prop up this genre. And the thing is, it's not only about the genre. It is about approaching the studios and approaching advertisers and approaching educators. In fact, if we start digging into local markets and local ratings, I got some information today that blew me away when I was told in some markets, One Life to Live outperforms Young and the Restless. And I was like,
really?
What?
It does? Wow.
One Life to Live outperforms Young and the Restless.
That's amazing.
Wow.
The storylines on One Life to Live have been phenomenal. And it just
popped
in my mind that they got canceled.
There's a segment of our society that we have not reached out to, and I'm very troubled by this. And that is the hip-hop and rap community. Because if you talk to the hip-hop folk, and I've talked to a couple of them this week, I was shocked that a lot of people in hip-hop and rap are huge One Life to Live viewers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And here we are leaving them out of the discussion. We're not going after them. We're not going after Little John. We're not going after Snoop Dogg. We're not going after Mary J. Blige. And
or Eminem.
These people... Or even Eminem. But some of these people love One Life to Live. Why aren't we reaching out to that group? The other group that we're not reaching out to are educators. That's why I put out this call to educators. I want to know what educators think. I want to know what college professors think. I want to know what high school dramatic arts teachers think. They have the data. They have the knowledge. They have something to bring to the table that shows the educational value of serial television, okay? You have to look at the whole, if you look at history, if you look at American evolution since 1950, and you look at the way things have changed, think about this for 1 minute. In 1960, a black woman could not marry a white man or vice versa. And yet, One Life to Live tackled that problem head on. And today you have parity in that regard. In 1960, a Jewish person was treated very badly in many segments of our society, and One Life to Live had a Jewish female attorney as a hallmark who was married to a black man with a biracial child. One Life to Live scratched the surface. When Judith Light played Karen Wolick, a drug addict, and she went through that whole thing, how many parents of drug addicts came forward and said, my God, I was watching my kid. Soap opera has a purpose. Soap opera educates. And we need to talk to these educators. We need to talk to these people and say, look, what can we do to change the dynamic? There was a time when soap operas were studied as courses in colleges. There were times in dramatic arts classes in high schools throughout this land had soap operas as part of their courses where people would study the writing, study the acting, study the nuances. The soap opera actors have never received the credit they deserve. You have actors who have some days have had 30 to 50 lines of pages of dialogue that they had to remember for the next day. You don't have
that's
in movies.
That's impressive. I can barely remember what I have to buy at the grocery store without having to look at my list. And they got to remember 50 pages of scripts. It's amazing.
Well, this is the thing that I'm trying to say. We have to make, you know, John Stamos and Demi Moore get it. Julianne Moore gets it. Kevin Kline does not because he thinks that his time on Search for Tomorrow was horrible and he hates soap opera. Well, you know what, Mr. Kline? If you're going to be that elitist, I'm not going to pay the $10 to watch you in a movie. End of story. We have to take a stand and remember these are the professionals. You know, we underpay the best in our society. We underpay our teachers. We underpay our nurses. We underpay our health care providers. We underpay our daytime actors. And yet they are the ones who bring more to the table than anyone else. And this is time for us to say something about that. You know, we have to make sure they get the recognition they deserve. That's why it's important. If you have the time this week, start looking into your local markets. I need to know what your ratings are in your town. I don't care if you're in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or Butte, Montana. If you have a way of getting your local ratings for daytime, we need that information. Because once we have that information, we can make an informed decision and go after the entertainment media and say, okay, this is what we have. Why haven't you reported this? I don't want to know national numbers anymore, because national numbers can easily be manipulated, and national numbers do not tell the truth. They just don't tell the truth. You can give me all the national numbers you want. I want to know about what goes on in Boston, in Sacramento, in Portland, Oregon. I want to know what goes on in Denver, Colorado, in Corpus Christi, Texas. We need the viewers to start looking in their own backyards, and you need to contact your local advertisers. If you have Ginny's Hair Salon advertising on General Hospital, pick up the phone and call the hair salon and say, thank you for advertising on General Hospital. I appreciate it. If more local businesses are recognized for sponsoring ads on daytime, those local businesses are going to say, wow, this was a good investment on my part. And the more local businesses that go to advertise on daytime, the national advertisers are going to say, what the hell just happened here? You know, the demographics tell us that we shouldn't advertise, and yet these people are getting feedback and they're getting business. If a local business advertises on your show, you make sure you show that local business some support. And I'm going to tell you something. If you start to sacrifice a little bit and support your local business, even if it has nothing to do with daytime, we can rebuild this country's economy one city, one community at a time, by supporting our own. We don't have to, you know, it's going to mean sacrifice. It's going to mean making informed decisions. But what I'm saying is, this is not only about soap opera. It's about education. It's about the economy. It's about a whole bunch of different things. If you look at the number of soap operas that have been canceled in New York City in the last 10 years, ask yourself this question. Those 3,000 jobs that have been lost, all of those incomes that have been taken away from New York, how much do you think the people of New York are paying for that now? You know, there has been a real bad impact on the state of New York as a whole, because all of the soap opera has been sucked out of New York and sent to California. And let's face it, California is in a bigger financial mess than the rest of this country. So I think we need to start acting intelligently. We need to start looking at the big picture and bring it all together. And if we bring it all together, it's going to save soap opera in a different way, but a better way. And it's going, you know, it's going to bring an art form back that deserves to be here as a form of entertainment. It's as simple as that. Hello? Did I leave you all
speechless?
Yeah. I'm good at that.
No, we're all here.
I really am feeling so passionate about this. You know, I don't know how many of you read my article in Abbotsford Today up in Canada, the one I wrote about a year ago for Francis Reed. I put the link out on Twitter today. But some people who had never read the article went up and read the piece, and they came back and said, okay, now I get why you're in this. Now they understand why I'm in this. You know, this goes back to when I was an 8-year-old snot-nosed kid sitting in my mother's living room telling her about what was going on between Rachel and Ada on Another World. You know, I have watched soap opera as a little boy into adulthood, and I have watched soap opera affect lives across the board in a positive way, whether it be One Life to Live or General Hospital or All My Children or Another World or As the World Turns or Guiding Light. Every soap opera has had an impact in one way or another on someone in this country. And we need to recognize that. We need to make people understand that our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers watched their stories, and as they watched these stories unfold, their minds changed on things, and they came to understand life a little better, and they imparted that wisdom upon their children, who imparted it upon us. We are all in some way, shape, or form in this American experience. We are all impacted in some way by what daytime did in the 50s and 60s. And if we don't owe it to ourselves, we owe it to those who came before us, because if it wasn't for them opening up their living rooms to these shows, we would not have evolved into what we are today. That's how
okay,
I
that is so
Silas, funny. Hold on. We have another call.
Okay.
705, you on the air with us?
That's Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, now we can hear you tonight.
I've been enjoying listening to talk. I agree with everything you say. It's these actors are absolutely brilliant, and they work harder than most people I know. And I don't know any group of people who deal with more socially relevant issues than daytime.
Yeah, they've been doing Ripped from the Headlines before. Ripped from the Headlines was cool.
Well, I'll tell you, I was talking to an attorney today, a rather big-named attorney, and he was saying to me, I took my wife and my child to ABC Super Soap Weekend 2 years in a row down at Disney, and he said, you know, I hated it, blah, blah, blah. He goes, but I got to tell you something. I've never seen a bunch of more professional actors who are so intelligent. And he said, I have to be honest with you. I would love to see a panel of 4 or 5 daytime actors in a talk show, because I found them compelling to talk to.
I agree.
He said,
mm-hmm.
I would watch a talk show with them before I would watch with you.
Barbara Walsh.
Well, I think they're real people. And I mean,
they
the
are.
Days of desperately wanting to get off the soap opera so that you could become a movie star, I think, are long gone. I think that these people have so much respect for themselves and the genre and the brilliant storytelling that
yep.
you can tell everybody's just happy and content and respects themselves for what they do and the stories they tell. It's amazing.
It is. It's totally amazing. And my heart bleeds for them. I can't begin to tell you how much my heart bleeds for the folks at All My Children and One Life. These actors right now are pretty much under a gag order, let's face it. They can't really say too much because they want to be there until the end on ABC, and I understand that and appreciate it.
Right,
and many of these
always
actors.
Let, Susan Lucci loose, though.
Well, you know what?
She seems to be everywhere all the time.
One at a time, David. Let her finish what she was saying.
Well, Susan Lucci, you know, if you look at the evolution of Susan Lucci, she is a studio darling. God bless her. She's had a great run as Erica Kane, but people forget that she wasn't supposed to last more than 6 weeks on All My Children in the beginning.
Exactly.
And somehow she became a darling of ABC.
She became, right. And yep. so is Erica Slazik as well. I just adore Erica Slazik. Her when you talk about the talent that these actresses
yes.
and actors bring, it's just amazing. And she was when she took over the role of Victoria, because as we know, Victoria she didn't originate the role. But when
That's
she
correct.
Took over the role, she made it her role, where you don't even remember the other actress that played the role. And
That's
I have
right.
loved her, and I have
a real matriarch.
All.
I mean, she's really
exactly.
We've watched her
so much,
mature and
so
grow
class.
Into the role, even.
Vicky had so much class yesterday with that
yep.
whole Charlie and Echo thing. I was standing
mm-hmm.
up and applauding her. The way she handled the whole situation.
Oh, come on. Don't tell me anything, David, because I haven't watched the show all week. That's how busy
yeah,
I've been.
Me either,
I have no
David.
Idea.
David, I haven't either. I don't know if I'm going to have time before I lay in the morning. So, yeah.
All I will say is that she was phenomenal dealing with Charlie and Echo. She was absolutely, hands down, you will stand up and applaud when you see how she handled it.
It's
well, you know,
humanity.
Erica Slazik is a class act.
Humanity and grace.
Yep.
I mean, it was like watching, and you know, a performance on stage. I mean, it was watching, you know, like a Broadway. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying.
Where the actor gets a standing ovation. This is
yep.
one of this was one of those moments where she shone dealing with Charlie and Echo.
And Echo's acting, too. I mean, her meltdown was just brilliant. I mean, she did the best
meltdown
on TV I've seen in a long time.
And seeing the Alters was great. But this topped the Alters and her meltdown, you know, her reaction to everything going on before. The way she handled Charlie and Echo face-to-face was phenomenal.
Well, true to character.
It was just classy all the way. Total class.
Yep.
Well, Erica Slezak, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with her father at all, David. But Walter Slezak, you know, he was one of the greatest actors we've ever known.
Yep.
You know, he was a professional.
Bob, so I know him well, for sure.
I know. It just boggles my mind that they have so many talented people on One Life to Live. Austin Williams, who's like in like Mensa, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant kid. And he's killing it with this bullying storyline. You know what I mean?
And you know what's sad? This is an actor. This is a kid who's just entering teenage years, who has so much potential, and we are not going to be exposed to that potential, and that's a detriment to us all because this is a kid 10 years from now who could be a phenomenal primetime actor in movies.
He definitely has the chops to be an A-lister. He's up there. Right now, in acting,
I think he's an A-lister already,
the point I'm trying to make
is that the soap operas are just as relevant and just as important as primetime. I really don't even want to focus on primetime because most of what we see there are soap operas. You know, they just somehow they get more credibility because they're on in the evening. I mean, Desperate Housewives is a soap opera.
And you know what's really sad? You know what's really, really sad? That's the most frustrating thing for daytime actors.
Can I finish?
Absolutely. I don't understand it. And I think, again, it goes back to the
promoting
him and not marketing him. I mean,
go ahead, David.
Talk shows. They should have a public personality. You know, Erica's getting out with her book, but Erica Slezak should be on Jay Leno and, you know.
I don't disagree. Go ahead, David.
Get that out. Is it all out now? Just checking. Okay, now, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. You know, the thing is, if we were talking a couple weeks ago about Jonathan Jackson and how good he is as an actor, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Austin Williams is, for this generation of teens, he is just as good as Jonathan Jackson was 10 years ago, I think.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I think the kid is brilliant. Beyond measure. I absolutely adore this kid. I think he's got what it takes, and I respect him for what he does. But anyway,
I do think Zay is a wonderful actor, but I can't say I'm a lucky character. He said this day died in the fire if it were up to me.
I have to admit, it was a little rocky with some of the recast, but when Jonathan Jackson came back, he's starting to pull it back together again. He's pulling Lucky back from all the craziness that they had him going through.
Why was Lucky it's not even fucking funny at some point.
Listen to me.
You know, that's the thing, Ray. Why was this character into this? Oh, he never made a mistake. He's never done anything that he has.
You're missing the point.
Okay, I have my other lines ringing. I have to go. I just want you to know. I'm listening. I will be talking to you next week. Cassandra, watch for your email tomorrow. I got a bunch of stuff coming away. I got to get off here because I got another call coming out soon.
Okay.
And remember, like Michael Swan says, where there is life, there is soap. Thanks, Charlie. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, we have two more calls. 718. 718. 718, you're on the air. Okay.
Well, why don't we talk about some of the things that are coming up in the next week or so? I mean, Soap Fans United is having a fantastic rally at Lincoln Center, for example, and we at the Soap Revolution are organizing a flash mob at all the Starbucks in New York to coincide with. They're trying to back them up, so they're rallying.
That reminds me. I was trying to say earlier about
okay.
What's her name, Susan Lucci. She's going to be in New York tomorrow. She's going to be at a Starbucks. This was mentioned on Twitter. Let me read you what was said here about that. She's going to be
a book signing on Saturday.
No, a book signing. She's going to be at Barnes & Noble.
Hello?
Yeah.
708, do you want to be back on the air? 708.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air with us.
Oh,
okay.
Let me turn it down. Okay, there we go.
A comment. I just want to say that.
I heard somebody else talking, so
right
I didn't
now.
Know I was on.
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, everyone's on here. There's more than one person here. It's like a party line.
I told you I was calling just to read my letter, and that's it.
Oh, yeah, Pete, you know.
According to Fire Franz, God bless her, from Fire Franz, listen to this. I'll retweet. Susan Lucci is going to be at the Barnes & Noble in Carly Place, New York, wherever that is, 2 p.m. tomorrow. So anyone who's in that area, go see Susan Lucci and, yeah, spread the word of protest on the 16th with flyers. It's a great place to spread the word of protest on the 16th.
She's going to be somewhere on Wednesday as well in Roslyn, New York, for a book signing. On the soaprevolution.com, we've got an events page, and all of these things are listed, including a link through to Susan's website, but all the dates and times and locations are there for her book signings, as well as the Lincoln Center rally, and then the flash mob, and then there are a couple more in May and going into June. So the soaprevolution.com, the events page, has all this stuff listed, and you can actually Twitter the page directly so that you can spread the events around to all of your contacts.
Yeah, and as
cool.
a matter of fact, on Sunday, June 19th, we're at the 38th Daytime Entertainment Emmy Awards. We're trying to get something together, too,
right,
to show
yeah.
support.
Well, that's in Las Vegas. I remember Kat saying something about wanting to organize an event to coincide with the Emmys, so I'm hoping that that she'll surface with some ideas, because we could do an amazing coordination rally.
I emailed her.
Yeah.
We're talking about it.
I think a number of people have reached out, so I think that as long as she knows that everybody's organized and committed and not sort of fly by night, I think the chances are better that she'll respond.
Right.
And, just help us.
Yeah, I think that she will. I mean, she seems to be on board with it. She wanted to do something, so this would be great if she. I gave her the link to the website to show her how organized we are and what we have on thesoaprevolution.com.
So
I think it'll be good.
Well, and of course, we'll get her event up there as well. So, I mean, if everybody
nice.
Promoting everybody really is the way
right.
to go. I mean, I'm hoping
right.
that people have learned a thing or two and they're not holding information close to their chest, because I mean, there really is force in numbers, and when we all share
well, yes,
the information,
yes, there is force
it just spreads
numbers,
like wildfire, yeah, right?
The problem is the numbers are so, what's the word I'm looking for, chaotic. I mean, everyone's all talking over each other. How can anyone really hear anyone over the din? You know, we need to be focused, not just in numbers.
And you know, Wendy, I think people are focused. They don't need you always going and telling people what people are doing. I think people have stood up and said this is wrong on so many levels. People have called. People have done so much. So, you know, and to tell people, oh, you should not protest the One Life Phillips studio during the week because, oh, my district is the actors. Well, I think that is a brilliant idea because, yes, let's district the actors. Not that I want, you know, the actor to be dissed, but
yeah,
I want the media.
Good thing. Don't you think that the actors will appreciate seeing people out there fighting for them? I mean, as
yes.
long as As long as you're orderly and you're not causing any problems, I think that it's morally a really great boost for them, too, because I think that it's easy for them to feel like they're all alone. And I mean,
exactly, like
future for them.
Exactly,
to
and that's why I
must
think
feel great.
You know, go out. You know, during the week. I mean, I know a lot of people cannot get off of work, but I am saying, yeah, have a protest during the weekend and during the week. But during the week, I think it would show them we are not alone on this. You know, we. You know, the fans do care. And just say, no, we don't want things to be interrupted. No, it would not be interrupted. It needs to be out there. It needs to be more in the main street media. What the hell is going on? What the hell we are up against? And, yeah.
And you have to remember. Some of us in the beginning said that, I mean, we can't look at this as a sprint because we're all going to tucker out. So I'm happy with the way things are going because it's a long haul and we all have to pace ourselves or we're going to burn out. The people we ask to help us are going to burn out and we're going to lose momentum. So slow and steady in my mind is really the way to go. And that also gives you time to organize properly, to get a positive impression out into the media, into the general community. It takes time to build a movement, and if everybody is expecting massive results in the first, what is it, month? You know, I think that's the wrong way to look at things. I think we've got a long haul, and we're organized, and if, as long as every week, every couple of weeks, we've got things going on, we're out there, press releases, this, that, and the other thing, I think we're doing great.
Well, I think if everyone stood up just a little and, you know, really go after them, you know, why not? They deserve it. ABC does deserve a lot of what's coming to them. You know, they must have been on drugs the day Fonzie came in and saying, oh, I think Kelsey AMC and One Life to Live is a great idea, you know. You know, I just believe that Fonzie did this, you know, and all the big wigs or whatever was on drugs that day. I wasn't even thinking that the fans had a voice, that the fans were going to say, wait a moment, you're not doing this. I mean, I was a big part of Becky Nathan. And, you know, people said, oh, Becky's over and out. You're not going to get Becky back, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? We proved those bastards wrong, and I think we need to prove these bastards wrong on this.
Well, I think that what we're doing is making such a kerfuffle and being organized and getting websites built and this, that, and the other thing. I think that what's happening is the other networks and cable networks are watching. I never for a minute believed that ABC was going to change their mind. That, to me, that's not the goal. To me, the goal is to attract the attention of people like NBC, Sony, Comcast, CBS, whomever, because we need to prove to them that there is a loyal following and that they're not being driven by taking the shows off. You know what I mean?
We need to make sure that they know that the soaps are a viable entity.
Absolutely.
Investing.
Yeah.
And I think that we're doing that.
You know, the last thing I want is everybody to go crazy in the first couple of months and then burn out because we've got a lot of people.
I don't think people are going to go crazy and burn out. I think people have been long and pissed off that their soaps have been canceled. And, you know, I am just sick of everyone thinking, yeah, you have to be organized. But you know what? You might not believe for 1 minute ABC is going to say no mind. I think ABC could say no mind on one of the soaps because the presses that are talk so cooking so did not get picked up. So, you know, it's not over to the fat man singing Brian Fonz, and I think we just have to boldly go after him, and we have to go out for the advertisers.
Right. And that's what we've been doing.
And not only that, you have to remember that all of these organized efforts that we're doing, is we are actually being the voice of the actors and actresses that cannot speak on behalf of what's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
That's
right,
the bottom
of the gag order.
Because of the gag order, because of the contract issue, because
right.
of them wanting to finish out their tenure to give us a product that we can appreciate, that we can love, that they have given their heart and soul.
Well, not only that, but they can't burn their bridges. I mean,
they
you
do
know,
not
if,
exactly because
right.
If,
I mean,
you know what? If I was
lucky,
in their if I was in their position,
future.
Really, I would speak out even if I can't go do it on me. You know, they need to speak out. You know what? If they're so, they need to speak out to and say, "Wait a moment." You know, if enough of their co-stars spoke out about this, I don't think they would lose their job because all of them would be speaking out and not doing the gag order. The gag order is because Fawn's going to be like Alof Hitler and keep, you know, his little employees to be quiet over this. That's why the gag order is in effect. And I think it's sick that last Friday you had even LaRue Callahan and Fiona Hughes on Live with Lisa Kelly, and there was not one moment about AMC, you know, being canceled. They were both on AMC. So I'm saying, wait a moment, that was wrong. That was so screwed up. It made me so ticked off.
Well, the gag order, don't forget, I mean, there's a couple of ways of looking at that. The gag order is as much for the protection of the actors as it is for anything. Now, I think that the gag order that appears to be on mainstream media, I have a problem with. But as far as the actors getting out and speaking against ABC or do anything like that, I don't want to see them do that. I think that's our job. I think they've left it. That's our job to speak on their behalf.
This is a serious topic of discussion.
I mean, they're talking about killing an entire genre off, and it means media is not talking about it. That's what I have a problem with.
I have a problem with the media not talking about it too.
Absolutely.
I mean, because like I had spoken before about ageism and that, we're just not being counted or heard at all, and that's just ridiculous. And how many of these soap actors are above the age of 49 or 34 or whatever the cutoff is these days?
Well, it seems like over 49, it's like you're not worthy of living or something. Yeah. I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
I mean,
you might as well go
I'm
buy your coffin
I'm 50-something, and I'm having
and
a hell of a
it.
Time finding a job, and boy, am I skilled, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's
okay, hold on, you guys. We are getting calls left and right tonight. 609, you're on the air, and 321, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yeah,
Carly.
I had a little comment about how you were saying to go down to the studio to protest. And, you know, I don't really agree with that because the studio
Why don't you agree with that?
Because, first of all, the actors and everybody at the studio are aware that the protesters are there, and they know we're fighting for them, and they can't do anything down there to change it. Where we need to be was where we are, down in the 77 building where the
Okay, no, why? Just because you want to make everyone happy? Well, they are not making the fans happy,
but the studio, everybody at that studio is fired, too. They can't do anything.
Wow. So you're talking, instead of the studio, go to the ABC offices, that you go and deal with corporate type, that the actors and the crew really have nothing to do with it. They're the guys that lives are on the line here.
And it's the corporate types that
people should be going after, and I do agree with you. My thinking was that it would be nice for the actors and the crew to know, just to see people there every now and again, to know that we're there, and it's a show
of support versus trying to ask them
to do anything.
They do know, because if anything's happening at any other building, they know at that building because they've warned security at that building because I was there while they were playing.
It was so fun. Wait a moment. You thought what? You know, you think we are going to be crying. No, and this is so of, you know, some good could come out of it. I mean, more of the media, I think, would be there if they were protesting outside.
But I'll tell you what. I was at the one protest, and I was down there at the 77 building, and, like, George Stephanopoulos and all, I can't say his name, came
you got
out.
It right. You got it right.
And, okay. And then there was seven of us because everybody else went down to the studio. And we even had a crew member down with us, and we looked pathetic out there because everybody else went down to that studio to get their pictures taken with actors and stuff. And it didn't do us any good because we looked stupid, and he just laughed at us and went to lunch. And we could have been
on ABC. Okay, so what if Sinopolis laughed at you, okay? He was covering Clinton's butt the whole time Clinton was in office. So I really don't care what
those. He's not the only news guy. He wasn't the only, that's the news building. He wasn't the only one, but I'm just saying that he was one of the big names that came out and could have reported on it, but there was only a pathetic seven of us that listened to me and didn't go down there.
So what if there was a pathetic seven of you? I mean, you know what, that seven is better than one. Three, two, one. You have something to say.
Carly, what she's saying is if everyone is going to put the effort in to do this, then they're better to be organized because, yes, you're right. Seven was better than one, but 50 would have been better than seven. So
Go there. I mean, you know what? This should be the actors. Oh, my God. That should be the last thing on people's minds. You know,
most effect, and you get the most effect at the news building when you news people, so you have a chance of getting an interview or getting on air or making some kind of impact. You're not going to do that at the studio.
That's
right?
Where all the executives are, like the writers. They're all their offices are down there.
Three, two, one. You had a comment.
Yeah, I've just been listening in, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get everybody going right now with what I'm about to say. Here in Orlando.
We had our
pathetic less than 10 that I was extremely proud of at our protest.
No one's proud.
No, that wasn't what
I
was saying.
No one was saying that.
You know, and as far as the actors go, and they're not being able to say anything, I find that hard to believe that they can at least speak up and say something publicly. I mean, I would rather lose my job. I personally would rather lose my job than walk around with my tail between my legs for 3 months.
Not for the rest of your life because they'll be blacklisted.
Exactly.
Nah,
they won't.
Oh, God, so what if you're blacklisted?
Oh,
there's a lot of people still in Hollywood
second.
Today are blacklisted for doing something.
There's a way to speak up for yourself. There's a way to speak up for yourself without putting yourself under the bus.
I think
did anybody read John, what's his name, Rex Paul, whatever?
John Paul.
His article about how he's walked around all these years in fear of Franz firing him.
Yep.
What kind of life is that?
The one life to live, people, you got to think. I mean, they know what's going on, and they think that we can change something. They believe in it. And if they tick off the powers of being now, they'll be dead before they even get to be back on the air.
If a lot of people spoke up, a lot of the actors, Susan Lucy would get off by and find his ass once in a while and, you know, say something, you know, how wrong this is and
yeah,
the reason why this
is. Job security. I mean, Robin's pretty much
just
got
have mixed feelings on what's going on right now.
I don't think the actors being hired is a problem.
The studio side, and it's just a big mess.
It
and
is.
And as organized as we are getting, we've got to, we don't have that much time. What does everybody
right.
think we got? 2 years?
No,
people are aware about time and money out.
The last day the studio's open? You guys all know they record those shows weeks and weeks in advance.
Yeah, I think he,
you know,
All My Children is ending in May, and November is for One Life.
No, One Life is January.
No, that's
One
Life
the air date.
Oh,
we're talking about filming.
That's
not
the
air
date.
Oh, sorry.
That's
yeah,
the air date.
When they're done and
right.
they write the end at the end of the show, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality.
We have until November for...
I've been watching
we have
for 45
November
years,
for one
too.
Month. Yep.
You know?
Well, listen, guys, I've got to go in a minute. So you're all smart people. I've enjoyed talking to you. What I would really love for you to do, if you don't mind, is go to the website, thesoaprevolution.com, poke around in there.
I'm typing it.
Let me know... you know, let me know how we can fix it, if it's missing something that y'all think you might need. Would love to hear a critique, you know, if it's easily...
it's an amazing site that we have to all start using now.
Yeah. Well, that's what we try to do, but I also want feedback from, you know, people who are organizing as well and are looking for somewhere to go for... information. So we've got the postcards that people can print, petitions. I mean, we're ready
letters.
To go. And I would love to hear from y'all about how it works, and if you think that we're missing anything that could be useful to you, you know, just
people.
Feedback. I'd really appreciate it.
People. We need people.
People to help.
Yeah.
Because we're the ones organizing the flash mob to coincide with the Lincoln Center earlier in the day. So that's the kind of thing that we need help with organizing. If anyone's interested.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Do we have handouts
that
we can
fantastic site? So what is it? It's the Soap Revolution, all one word, .com.
I'm typing it on the board.
Yeah, the Soap Revolution.
Do we have handouts that we can give people at different protests and stuff?
That's what I want you to figure, because, I mean, I kind of had to think about what I felt everybody needed and then figure out how to do it, and then built the site and talked to Flo about it, and, you know, so what's there now... is what we thought you would all need. So you might go on there and go, this is fantastic, but hey, what about, well, we need X, you know? And
okay.
then you let us know, and we'll figure it out, and we'll get it on there for you, you know?
Okay.
Yep. I mean, it's the whole concept of us working as a team and offering, I know that the ladies at Soap Fans Unite have just let me borrow a document from them, because that means I don't have to write it, because what they've got is fantastic. So why would I spend hours, you know? So
right.
that collaboration and information sharing, I think, is what's going to make the big difference, right? Instead of people holding things close, just share it. Just, you need it, there it is. Take it. You know, if you're in California and need the postcards, take them. Print them. Get them out
right.
there, right?
Right.
right,
and let us know.
And
what, you know,
I can take to Disney and pass around to everybody.
That what?
There's principal cards and letters and everything on there. There's banners that you can use. I mean, there's so much on there.
Yeah. So yeah, there's like sample letters for people. There's postcards that are pre-printed for sponsors, and there are postcards pre-printed for affiliates. And then there are blank ones if people would just want to hand write something and mail it. All
right.
The addresses are there. There's petitions that people can print out.
Right.
You know, just
all the events
you know
that are going on.
I'm gonna get off
you know,
here.
Useful things for the cause. But
Did
you
I think of everything? I don't know. You know?
Okay.
That's where you
Wait,
guys come
one?
In and say, well, you know, we could use this, right? We could, I don't know what it would be, but you might look at it and go, yeah, this is fine, but. Or you might say, you know what, yeah, the tools are there.
I don't know who's talking, but I'm going to hang up.
Wait, well, who are
you? It's Denise. I love
you. Okay, Denise, thank you for calling in.
This weekend, I hate to tell y'all, I'm going to Disney. I got friends in Canada right next door, but I would love to slip some flyers all over the parks.
Well, you know,
go on there and print them out.
If they're on the site, I'm going there now. And that's my mission this weekend.
The postcards are a 4 to a page, so they're regular postcard size.
Right,
awesome.
And you can hand them out,
awesome.
And people can put them in their purses or pockets or whatever.
I'll just leave them laying around.
You bet, absolutely. Yeah, and
put
the petitions, I put a little column on the right-hand side.
Put them by the food stand.
Where people fill their name in and their email, and there's a little thing on the right-hand side that they can tick off if we're allowed to contact them. So that'll also help for rallies and flash mobs and things like that. So if somebody ticks off that they're in, I don't know, Sacramento, California, and they've got a ticknet, that means that if we're organizing something in the area, we have permission to email them and let them know that we're organizing something.
Right, and I would say put them by the food stands where all the moms go to get their kids some kind of food.
No, it's
you
true.
Got
where the soap magazines are.
Right.
I'm on a mission.
Yeah.
They don't know
well,
who
we
I
thank
am,
you
but
for
I
that.
Know who they are.
So, yeah, I would really, really appreciate if you guys had a look and critiqued it. You know, you might find some typos. you might find some bad grammar. You might find, and you'll find some a lot of great stuff, too, but whatever you find, let me know.
Well, I just found the postcard.
Hey, I've been proofreading.
Awesome.
I've been proofreading. I stick out. I say, there's the typo. Fix it. Remember that.
There's a guy, some fellow called Sean, who I don't know who he is, but he emailed me the other day through the contact form that we have on the website, and he said, you've got a typo over here, and I just emailed him, and I said, thanks, Sean, and went and fixed it, you know? So it's a user-friendly site, and I don't have to.
It is.
Well, I'm getting ready to use it, and I hope everybody else does, too.
Well, pass it along to everybody that you know, any groups, anybody. I mean, we even got a list of the social groups on there, too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. At the top left of the page, you can actually send the actual page to your Facebook account, and you can Twitter it.
Yeah.
So you click
any
on the
blog
Twitter
site.
Thing on the left,
yeah.
And it will actually take the website and pop it onto Twitter so it can go viral.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
right.
That's what I've been doing. I've been posting on Twitter left and right and retweeting everybody's things. And
I know how you've been doing it.
I had a Twitter account for over a year, never even looked at it twice until this came up, and now, oh, my God, I'm a fanatic.
Yeah, you know what? I've gotten so into it, and I just changed the title. So if I'm on the events page, for example, I'll just change the title and go, May events, New York, Fat Flash Mob, Rally, you know. I've gotten a lot of responses where people say, thanks, Andrea, and they retweet it or repost it or, you know, send it off to their friends. So, I mean, that really is how word gets around.
Yeah,
everyone know how easy it is to tweet it. I just said it while you were talking about it. So it's that easy.
Everybody
needs to get on there and do that.
It's a push of a button.
And everyone that follows me on Twitter has just seen it.
Yeah, so yeah, we've got our Twitter account there. And you know what? I invite all of you as well to email your Twitter handles, and we will add you to our list. Right? So you'll get updates, and then, and then you'll have ours, too, to get notices.
Okay.
Yeah. So thanks so much.
So who wants to talk about the
soap?
I do because we have 11 minutes to go, and I just want to say that, you know, for everyone who wants to, you know, believe that Jason and Liz will find their way back to each other is having their heads in the cloud. After today, I feel like our couple is finally coming home. You know, Jason and Liz belong together. That's, you know, that's keep the fight.
Did anyone hear that Steve Burton re-signed for another year?
Yep.
Yeah, I just saw that, too.
Yeah, you know, and so I just feel like we will get a couple back, and they, Sam, and Ariel, too, will be, were they able to couple? They will be erased from our memory so fast, and I'm going to love it.
Oh, and Roger Howarth is coming back to One Life to Live.
Yeah, the question is whether he's hot or not.
I am not excited about that because in my heart, Roger has done a great job. I love him as Todd. You know, it's just like, you know, them bringing Zay back to Center Hospital. That was another stupid move. And bringing Roger Howarth back, I'm sorry, but his time has gone, came and gone on One Life to Live. And Trevor St. John is the Todd that I know and love.
What? You know what? I totally agree with you. I like that Roger's back, but I want him to play somebody else because
I absolutely
adore Trevor St. John. He has taken over the role of Todd, and I cannot see anybody else playing him now.
Yep, me too. And there will be a little temporary casting for Rebecca Hoops. Hoops, she has meningitis, so...
Yeah,
and so she will be back, you know...
Because she got sick, I think, what happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, and, you know, you guys, we have to... try at least to have AMC. Let's try and put the AMC back in good rating because, you know, it's been slipping. So One Life to Live, you know, is doing great on that. So, but, you
know,
AMC
Hospital lost a lot in ratings this past week, I seen, and that's
Because no one wants to see Jason and Sam. No one wants to see the most boring freaking couple on daytime. Sorry?
Jason. I would never miss an episode to see Jason. I love Jason.
Well, okay, but did you like Jason with Sam or Liz?
I like Jason with
anybody.
Sam. I like Jason with me, yeah.
Okay.
But I like Jason with Sam. I do. I do think that they really connect. Because
they really
the
connect?
Level.
Oh, my God, that is so funny. I didn't know a con artist and a monster connects. I mean, I didn't know a baby schnitzel and a Marvin Foster, you know, let's go Hoziki. Okay, you know, Sam should be game was coming to them. Who?
Yeah, I know. But you got, you know, I don't know. I like them together. I really do. I like him with Rebecca Herbst, though, too.
I think he's just that kind of personality, and it's like a blank canvas almost, you know what I mean? Not in a negative way. I don't mean it negatively.
Oh, no, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Can I say 3, 2, 1, you're back on the air.
Can I say something? Hello?
Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
You.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Can, hear you.
Can I say
Can I respond to the caller who just asked, Jason and Sam?
Yep, go, Cassandra, yes. Go for it.
Okay, first of all, I have never, ever liked Jason and Sam. Let's be clear about that. And it has nothing to do with me preferring Jason with Elizabeth or anything like that. The fact of the matter is, the first time around, when they got together, Sam lost all independence that she had when she first hit the scene. When she became involved with Jason, it made her needy, it made her whiny, it made her unwatchable to me. This time around, it's even worse because we are back to the same thing, and it is just so unemotional. I loved her when she was away from Jason because I saw the independent woman once again that she was when she came on. Yes, she came on as a con artist. However, she didn't lose herself in a man. And what I feel
I loved
is,
her with Lucky.
Okay, I'm going to get to that. She didn't lose herself in a man. And with Greg Bond Lucky, and I'm stressing Greg Bond for a reason, because I don't like Jonathan Jackson playing Lucky.
Really?
I really don't, because, no.
No, me either.
And I'm going to tell you why. Back in the day, Teen Lucky was fine. It really, truly was fine. When they went through all the transitions of Lucky, until they found Greg Vaughn, they didn't find a perfect, to me, Lucky, after the fact, to play a mature Lucky. And Greg
Greg Vaughn was a little too alpha male for my taste.
Well, can I finish my point first?
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Cassandra,
I
want you to.
I like to finish the point because it's leading up to where I'm going with Sam's character. Greg Bond brought a different element. He brought a maturity to it. Yes, he was still a dick, don't get me wrong, but he brought a different element to the role of Lucky. And then when they put him and Sam together, it made both of them be more of a fit in the characterization of where they were going with both Lucky and Sam. Because here it is, you had two misfits that came together in unorthodox circumstances, because we all know Sam was out for revenge, but in essence she fell in love with Lucky, or supposedly, before Franz Penn got into it. But anyway, they both fell in love with each other. Lucky made Sam independent. She did not lean on Lucky. Sam made Lucky more adventurous. I loved when they went on the Mexican adventure. That was the Lucky that was missing when JJ left. That was a Lucky that I wanted to see again, the more adventurous Lucky. And that is what Greg Bond brought back to the role of Lucky. He made Sam come back to the way that she was when she first came on the scene. We're back with Jason. Here it is. She's always needing to be saved. She's back to being needy. She's back to saying, whatever you want, Jason, I'm fine with it. That's bull. That is bull, because in real life, no woman will accept being second fiddle to another woman. I'm sorry. Give me
But
a
you
break.
Know who's worse as far as being needy and whiny and always needing to be saved is Brenda. I can't stand her this time around.
Well, that is
Don't
because
get me started on Brenda.
But that is because of the way they are writing Brenda. Today, when I watched the episode, and the way she was going on, I wanted to flip the channel, because I'm like, I don't remember Brenda being this irritating. I don't remember
Brenda. She was irritating
Brenda.
Like that before. I remember Brenda
I don't remember her being needy. I don't remember her being any of this. And see, this is my whole point of contention with the way Franz has taken all of daytime and made every woman in all of the ABC soaps weak, needy, sleazy,
I mean, just very irritating, because if you are supposed to be responding to your audience, which is primarily women, damn it, write us like we are true to form. We are not needy women. We are not whiny women. At least most of us are. I mean, there are still some that are, but write us like we are true to form. That's what I want to see. There are times when Elizabeth works and great on my nerves because of the way that they are writing her. And I'm saying,
well, yeah,
myself,
I mean,
women are not
yeah, you guys,
like
before
that.
You guys, we have like 0 seconds left. We are going into overtime, and our next show is next Friday night.
And we'll be here.
Oh, you're doing a show on Monday?
I'm in LA next week, David. I am going to soak up the California sun, hopefully, because I've been living in 40-degree weather for the past 5 months, and I need to see some sunshine because I'm ready to kill Seattle. So, yeah.
I don't blame you, and California so is the best
up
to go. It is the
best place
to go to soak
yes.
up. So all
right.
Terry, are you still there? Terry?
Well, it's Pam. I'm still here.
Well,
hello. Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry,
well,
I'm
let you go.
Really tired, so...
Oh
go.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Did you want to tell everyone why you're so tired?
No, it's okay. I don't need to say that. Just go to bed really late. I'll put it that way. Yeah. Well, actually, no. I'll say I've been on like a John and Natalie kind of like kick. There's a website where you could go for John and Natalie whatever. And I found this site has their whole story on the web. So because I guess it because one young and the rest of one life. I keep getting the names. One Life to Live. You know, I getting because you know what's been happening is making me like, you know, want to go back and watch when the soaps were like really good. You know, same thing with General Hospital and stuff. I get on these kicks. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna get off the phone too. I'm like really tired. So,
okay, you gonna call me later?
Yeah, I'll call you later.
Okay. Bye.
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 Okay. So who else is still here?
Pam.
Okay, David's here. Pam's here. Cassandra is here.
All right, so who did
yeah,
know?
Denise, my little sidekick that calls me down sometimes is here, yeah.
So who did watch shows? I know some of you haven't seen everything yet. You have to wait until the weekend. And, you know, honestly, you know, you can probably catch some of this stuff on YouTube. I sometimes watch the shows on YouTube if I have, like, a doctor appointment, and I'll come back and I'll find the One Life to Live show on YouTube if I really need to watch it. But anyway, I was going to ask, who saw... What
does
everyone think about Dina?
Who? Dina needs to go away.
Oh,
are you talking about from General Hospital?
I'm sorry.
Wait, who needs to go away?
Dina. I mean,
Dina,
the
four girl friend or whatever.
And One Life to Live. She needs to go away.
She never should have
gone away.
To begin with.
I mean, every time she comes onto a scene, she's like half dressed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like her at all.
That just bothers me on levels I can't even begin to describe. Why does she have to be like half dressed in every freaking scene that she's in?
And they complain about money, and then they hire these off the wall, make no sense characters.
I know,
right.
And I'm sorry, but the girl just looks like she needs to eat something. She's skin
well,
and bone.
She still looks like she needs to make that porn with Austin from Days of Our Lives.
I don't know.
She doesn't fit in that group.
About her, just
doesn't smell like she's going to become a legacy character.
No, she doesn't fit in that group at all.
Mm-mm. No way.
Nope.
I love
so you guys told me to call in to read my letter, and I never got to read my letter.
Yes, Pam, I want you to read your letter because I'm curious about your letter.
I would love to hear your letter.
Okay.
Yeah,
right,
and David be crying until Pam finish with her letter, okay?
All right. This is what soaps mean to me, because when we were in one of our groups, they wanted us to write what they meant to them. And this is what I wrote, and we haven't gotten it onto the website yet because it is a little bit long. But I put, I grew up watching the soaps, all my children, One Life to Live, General Hospital, with my mom, my grandmother, and my aunt. I was born in 1960, so I've been watching them basically from the start. We grew up with an alcoholic, abusive father, and I remember my mom being happy when she watched her soaps. Didn't realize why until I was older. I've been abused by an ex-boyfriend for 3 years, and for 2 years after that, he stalked me. In those days, there wasn't any stalking laws, so we had to just keep reporting to the police, but nothing was ever accomplished.
Uh-huh.
I've learned so much with the shows about violence, drugs, alcohol abuse, etc. When my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1989, we would sit and watch the soaps while she went through her chemo after her mastectomy. It helped take her mind off of her own problems, and I got to share some precious time with her. She died in 1991. I miss her every day. When I'm watching my soaps, it brings back so many memories of her and keeps her alive in my mind and heart always. My three children, I have three sons and a daughter, watch them with me. I pointed out to my sons when a man was abusing someone that that wasn't something that was acceptable. No man should ever lay their hands on a woman. Same thing with my daughter. I taught her that this was what I and her grandmother went through, and she should never let that happen. But if it did, she should tell me right away, and we'd take care of it together. Now my 14-year-old son, who's a special needs child, has been bullied at school. I had him sit with me to watch SoapNet and share with him what was going on with Shane on One Life to Live, and to show him it happens to a lot of kids and should never be kept a secret. Well, let me tell you that he shared a lot more of what was happening to him after he watched the show, thank God. I have worked since I was 14 years old and watched the soaps on a VCR for years until SoapNet came around. Now that I have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, degenerative disc in my back, arthritis, migraines, and restless leg syndrome, just to name a few, I watch my soaps during the day. I love the escape and the lessons I learned from these talented actors. I will fight with every breath that I have to keep them on air somehow in some way. These actors are like family to me, and some people may not understand that, but I know my fellow soap fans do. When someone dies, we all cry. When someone gets married, we're happy. When a child disappears, we worry, etc. Now, do we know that this is not reality? Of course we do. But as I said before, it takes our mind off of our own problems. And that's it.
That's very well
done. Oh, my God, you made me cry.
Well,
oh, my God.
Pam,
you should send that to Soap Weekly, ABC, you know. You should send that to, you know, the magazine, I think. Because, crap, it made me cry. It's like,
You know, that's telling a story for a lot of us. You know that, right?
Yeah, I do.
You're not the exact storybook that I have, but it's
right.
So very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
So similar. We've walked the roads maybe a little bit of different times. I'm just 5 little years behind you, Pam.
Yeah.
But I've been through a lot of the same issues you just discussed, and
right.
I've always been so grateful to have those little stories to go to sometimes learn from or just hide from everything
exactly.
else and escape with.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
taking that from us, and that's what I can't bear.
Right,
yeah.
And look at what I've taught my children from this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking recently with my 14-year-old son with his bullying stuff that's going on.
I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old at home right now that both are very aware of that storyline.
It's a phenomenal
You know, they come
story
home
line.
From school, and that's what's on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this guy, Pam, yeah, I mean, you little boy, no, I mean, not little, he's 15, but 14, but he knows that the whole bullying thing wasn't his fault, right? And it's still not happening, right? Did you take
it?
I mean,
is. He does understand, and he doesn't understand because his mentality is not up to the 14-year age mark. He's
yeah.
more of the 9, 10-year-old area as far as his brain working.
Yeah.
And he just started high school, and now it's, you know, it's worse than
it's
ever being
so
in high school because he's not just
of
in
course.
A special ed class anymore like he was since the age of 3. He's in with mainstream children, and the mainstream children are the worst, you know, with the bullying. And so what he does is instead of telling us, well, now, of course, he's more open about it because we've got him going through a therapy and that. And after watching Shane and other stories that I've showed him, he will open up a lot more. But I contacted the school, and I've got to make my whole new contact list of trying to take care of this. Now, I spoke with Sean Kanan the other day on Soap Dish Radio because he was on there about bullying and that, and he gave me an excellent, excellent website to go to, which I'm going to go on Monday to call in my Chicagoland area. It's ADL.org. And these are people that will give you references on how to help your children with these problems and also will go to the schools and talk about bullying. So I'm going to do
right
that.
Right there
I mean,
is a prime, wow. You are a prime, prime reason these shows are so important.
Yeah, yeah.
What
and I know I'm not the only
that.
One. That's just it.
No,
I know I'm
not
the only one.
Yeah. No, you're not the only one. And, you know, I mean, you know, the bullying. Oh, my God, Pam. Pam, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, because someone else dropped off the Swiss boat. But, no, I just feel so bad for your son because high school – regardless of, you know, you have special needs or whatever, should be a nice time and, you know,
exactly.
and whatever. And he, you know, he's probably not having the best time in high school. And
no, and that's what I was going to say. I got off the road a little bit there. What he's doing instead of, you know, like telling somebody all the time, he tries to fit in with the crowd that's bullying him. That's what I was going to tell you. And that's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is, I mean, that is so wrong to do. And, you know, is there a way you could have them maybe in special ed part-time? Oh, you know, I mean, because, I mean, you know, they people not feel so alone. Being part-time in special ed and, you know, have kids that maybe have the same learning problems so he won't be so alone on it all day long in school.
Well, he's with the other special ed kids, and I just spoke to one of his teachers the other day for an hour on the phone, and she told me that, you know, a lot of the nice kids that are there want to make friends with him, but he seems to gravitate towards the bullies and the ones that are always in trouble. And I think it has a lot to do with low self-esteem. He always says that nobody likes him, and to be noticed, you're not going to go with the nice kids. You're going to go with the ones that are making all the ruckus, you know? So
yeah. I mean, yeah, this, you know, when they do this scene, the bully on scene, it was an incredible thing to us. I'm just glad that he did not jump off that roof. When he was on that roof, I was freaked out. I'm like, no, please don't have it and so horrible and freak out everyone.
I know. And I mean, I felt
that.
Everything that he was feeling, and I felt everything that his parents were feeling. You know, I just sat there and cried the whole episode, and I thought, God forbid if this kid jumps off. I mean, you see enough of that in reality. Please, let's do something to show how we can fix it. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Yeah,
they even
showed an adult who was aware of it, who chose to keep the secret because
exactly.
Shane wanted to. And that was Echo. And her heart might have been in the right place as a character.
Right. Right.
But we all have to know that that is not the answer.
Right, exactly.
You know? And
exactly,
my kids
and
too,
more
they,
people
they
need
have a
to
little
know
issue,
that.
And it's, Mom, no, I don't want you to say anything because it's just
right.
going to make it worse.
Right.
Well, you know, we can't sit back and let bad things happen to our kids.
Well, yeah,
right.
And, you know, I have almost 8, well, 10 nieces, but my two other nieces, I mean, my niece, and we don't know where the other one will be born in July, but my older niece is 9, and my other niece, Sophia, who's 7, I tell both of them, if anything ever happens at school, I mean, because, you know, even they can happen in grade school now, I mean, I tell them, you know what, tell me, please come to me and talk to me, and if I cannot help you out, we need to tell Mommy and Daddy, my help, what is happening to you guys, do not ever keep that a secret. I mean, because you guys would do nothing wrong about it. And, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe I took their innocence away a little, but I just wanted them to know if anything happened to you at school and you're not okay about it, please tell someone. And,
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I feel so sorry for your son for keeping inside. I mean, well.
Right. Well, he was coming home and acting up, and we didn't know why. He would just keep telling us that he had a bad day at school, but he wouldn't always say what was wrong, you know. So we didn't have a clue about a lot of the things that were happening. So now I told him, I says, anytime something happens, you go to, you know, your social worker, you go to your counselor, or you come home and you tell us if you don't want to tell at school. So the other day something happened, and he texts my husband, and he told that he went to the social worker and explained to her what was happening. So then my husband texted me and told me what was going on. I called the school and got on there with the counselor, and I said, I want to know what's going on now and that it's been taken care of. They don't understand. They don't know me yet. I have the biggest mouth when it comes to my children. I will not let anybody do anything to them whatsoever. I will keep going up that ladder. I will go to the newspapers. I will do whatever it takes. Now, he's my youngest child. I've got a son that's 26. I've got a son that is 21. He's deployed. He's a Marine right now. I have a daughter that's 20 years old. And you can ask any of my kids, even at that age, I'm constantly texting them or calling them, where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? You know, and they don't think anything of it because they're so used to me doing it. You know, one of my daughter's friends said to her, oh, my God, doesn't your mother ever leave you alone? And she's like, no, that's just my mom. She loves me. So they're used to it, you know. But I think these days you have to do that.
Yeah, you do. You have to be on top of it no matter what. And, you know, even, even though it's hard for them, I mean, they have to tell you guys. I mean, keeping inside is this, I think, you know, kids, you know, you don't want the kids to go where Shane almost went. Or the thousands of the kids that have gone through that. I mean, you know, bullying is becoming such a problem. And, you know, I just hope your son isn't getting cyberbullied too. I mean, because, you know, you hear about that becoming a big thing now too, about Facebook and their Twitter accounts, and you're like,
right?
Wow.
He actually just got on Facebook, and I can monitor him on there. And
okay,
so far, I have not seen anything. And you know what really amazes me is actually two of the kids that he talks to, one being a girl and one being a boy, on Facebook that I have no clue who they are, actually asked me to be their friend. Can you imagine? They know I'm his mother, and they asked me to be their friend.
Wow.
Now, the little girl, well, I call her little because she's 14, she put on Facebook a couple weeks ago, oh, my God, I can't take it, what's going to happen, whatever. And as soon as I saw that, I contacted her on Facebook, and I said, is there something I can help you with? Don't ever be afraid. If you don't want to talk to your parents, talk to me.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to happen to you. Do you know how grateful she was? She was just having an issue with her boyfriend. But thank God, that's
she
all it was.
Needed direction.
That's all
that's
it
all.
Was.
Well,
yeah,
well, I mean, this. Well, yeah, and, you know, kids today, I think, with the to-dos and the Facebook, I mean, I have an 18-year-old niece, too, and my sister-in-law, you know, from the time she got it, like, you know, 3 years ago or whatever, she monitored that thing every day just to make sure nothing was going on, and, you know, it's just sad that, you know, kids get bullied and, you know, and, you know, there are new ways of doing it now that you would never think of.
Yeah, you know, when we were growing up, it used to be sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. But these days, it's a whole different story. You know, you keep getting called retard all the time. You know, that's going to affect you.
It's ridiculous.
That word should be, like, out of the
English
human
language.
Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I just think, oh, my God, that is a word that should never be on there.
No, no. And because you have an illness or a disability or something, you get picked on. I mean, look at even just Shane has asthma, so they make fun of him.
I know.
I
mean, come on. He can't help what he has.
No, he can't help the fact that he had leukemia either.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the world would be better off without you. You're told that enough times. I mean, I know this because of going through that abusive relationship that I went through where I was told all the time that nobody else would want me, I wasn't good enough, you're too fat, you're ugly, whatever. I mean, those words eventually get to you. It's like mind control. And that was part of what kept me with him. Because I didn't think I was good enough for anybody else. Finally, I don't know what smacked me upside my head, but one day after getting beat for the last time, I said, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore, and I'm not going to do this anymore. And I didn't. I didn't go back. And then also, too, what helped, I think, is that everybody, my parents, my friends, and whatever, would always tell me, you have to leave, you have to leave, you have to leave. So I would leave for a little bit. He'd come back, I love you, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. I'd go back. They finally quit telling me not to do it, and I did leave him. So, but from that day forward, don't even look at me cross-eyed because it'll be the last thing you do.
You got a powerful message, girlfriend.
Yeah.
You really do. And you have a voice. Just like our website says, we have a voice. You've got a voice, and you can definitely pass those well-learned lessons along. Because a lot of people need to hear that.
I could tell you, I could write a book of everything I went through in my life. I mean, what you've heard is an iota.
Right.
Did you let your daughter see? I'm getting my summer mixed up sometimes, but I think it was last year with Christina, and, you know, when Kiefer was abusing her.
Yeah.
I was blown away, and what made me so angry was I went through a similar thing, too, and what made me ticked off was, you know, everyone goes, well, Alexis would have been on top of it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a moment. No, not when you're scared out of your mind.
Right.
You're trying to protect him. You're trying
to
stay your head above water. And, you know, when Alexis, you know, I call it accidentally ran him over, but that's not, you know. I thought, wait a moment, okay, he deserved it, okay, great. But when that father of his kept blaming Christina and kept
right.
blaming Christina,
and
I thought, wait a moment.
Yeah.
Why, you know, come on, you must have hit your wife a couple of times. I mean, I'm not saying that the father was right, Kiefer was like that, but it might have been a little while when, right before Kiefer's dad died and said, look at Christina and goes, you know, I blame you or whatever. I'm like, you know, I'm bad, you know, even Carly and said, wait, this is not your fault. And
right.
But
the writers
the
writers missed another story there, though, that they could have took a lot further by not letting him get off so easy.
Exactly.
By being killed off. They should
have
shown how the law could step in and do
the problem is
about
with General Hospital is the law is kind of a joke on General Hospital.
Well, yeah, nobody gets arrested in Port Charles.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, but I wanted to see Sonny, too, get, you know, I'm not saying that Sonny to have killed him, but I was waiting for Sonny to grab the little Kiefer by his little neck and say, you know, I mean, why am I
doing that? Michael was sticking up for Christina with Kiefer.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep,
they really could have took that a little further.
Just,
I mean, I'm glad that they put it out there that our daughters and their sons
In a lot of ways, the bullying storyline on One Life to Live is 10 times better than the whole abuse storyline with Kiefer and Christina.
I like the storyline with Ethan. I mean, Kiefer and Christina. I thought, wow, I really did. I mean, I'm not gonna compare one storyline to another, which was better, but I thought it was really good. Yeah, they could have done so many things, but it's just funny that not funny, but you know, basically Alexis has gotten away with killing two people, never, you know, never been in jail.
Well,
yes.
Everybody gets away with everything.
She's run over two people with a car.
Yeah. Well,
then she hits somebody else. Then
well,
she
it's
killed,
not Alexis's
fault.
It's
killed
the
one
car's
of the,
fault.
And then she killed, one of the Alcazar brothers.
Yeah.
And then,
oh God! Didn't she kill somebody at Windermere at one point?
Was she having a fight with somebody? Well,
I mean,
who was fighting
Alexis
with?
Alexis is 007.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
was
she,
it?
The woman doesn't have a license to drive. She has a license to kill while driving.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's the car. The car has its own mind.
It's the car.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was looking at the car, and I'm like,
yeah, wasn't Alexis on the list of people who may have hit Jake?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You and I are not going into another Jake thing, okay? Because
wait
in my
wait
mind,
a minute. Wait a minute.
Mind,
how many... How many here think that Anthony Geary really did it?
She's a terrible driver. She should not be driving.
David, let's talk.
I said, how many here actually think that Anthony Geary did it? I still kind of think that.
I don't.
Right.
You know what I think? Do you guys really want to know what I think? I think, you know, there's too many holes in this storyline. In my heart, Jake never died. In my heart, you know, I'm sorry. I don't think Jake was hit at all. I think this was, you know, I think Franco or Anthony, the car has him.
Somebody
and Jake never really died. You know what you give? You know, you don't give a finger for a little kid on screen, but Sam's little baby that was stillborn, gets a finger? No. There were too many things that happened that you look at it like, wait a moment.
That's another thing. That kid, Lucian, they say it's not, according to the spoilers, that's not Brenda's kid. But
no, I was reading the thing for next week, and it was saying that she's going to meet her real son. So
right,
I wonder who
right,
that is.
Yeah, well, I know. So the kid too. But the thing is, in my mind, Jake is very, 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 very alive and well.
And I'm not going to change my mind on that, David. And I don't think Luke did anything in
mad.
No. David, this is my turn on you, so now be quiet.
I was trying to say that the spoilers about Lucian are saying that this kid is connected to someone else in Port Charles. I'm like, okay,
Lucian?
Does anyone else have a missing
kid? Yeah. I know,
Lucian
but I was somehow connected. But what I was trying to say really quick was, 7 calls were on Lexington Avenue that night. Liz never lived on Lexington Avenue ever. Robin lived next door. No one from Robin's house saw this. Number one.
Yeah.
7 calls going the same goddamn way, excuse my language, but
yeah.
No one sees each other that night. No one sees. Okay.
Carly,
well, they
we
kept
have
saying
a,
it was
I
so dark.
I have a Lexington Avenue on my, in my town, a street that's just like it, and you would not believe how much traffic that this street gets. And it's
dark and poorly paved,
yep.
Potholes, and everybody drives on it. You guys
yeah,
hear this?
I know.
Yeah.
This is just like that in my town. It's a couple blocks from me, actually.
Can y'all hear
this? All over the place there, too. My mother was coming home one day and nearly hit one of them, riding on their bicycle.
Yeah,
well,
I believe
what
that.
What I'm saying, we never saw him get hit. They were not like Liz or Jason. I don't care about Lucky. Sorry, I never will. Jake. You know, there was too many friggin' things that happened with that storyline. And, you know, Liz seeing Jake right now, ooh. You know, there is something down the line I feel like we are going to get the biggest bait and switch that we've ever had with the Jake storyline. And let me tell you, if I'm right, I'm going to every media place that told me I was crazy, that told
yeah.
me I was delusional, and tell them where to go.
You got it. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking Lucian is Susie and Lucy's kid. She's going to come on General Hospital and she's going to claim him.
I don't think so.
You
no.
know what? I was thinking about that last night, though. I was thinking, you know, if they could not save AMC, but I'm not, I want them to, but I'm saying if they couldn't, I was thinking, how many characters could end up on General Hospital? I was like thinking, okay, where are you going to put Cameron? Where are you going to put, you know, Michael E. Knight? I was.
You
so got to
have
that.
Michael E. Knight. You got to have. I can't live without Tad.
I know.
I
so,
live.
You know what? I thought, I always thought a storyline for Tad. Tad is a PI. So, he needs
he would
to go
fit
with,
right in. He would work
yeah,
with
he
Matt
would go,
them.
Well, he
Ooh.
Would. He
well,
needs to be a PI with my husband, Spinelli.
With
your
with Spinelli, yeah.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine those two together? Oh, my God.
I know.
That would be
funny.
Hysterical. Mm. That would be another long-lost kid of Tad's, Spinelli.
Did you guys hear my fireworks?
Pardon?
Were you guys able to hear my fireworks?
I heard
yeah.
something. Is that what that was?
I was out. I didn't expect them. They're usually at 10 o'clock, and I went out to get my mail. And
where
they're
is
having
that?
A late show. I find the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, you're over there?
You're at Disney.
Yeah, I live here.
Wait, Denise, are you at... Wait, are you at Disney World or Disneyland?
Disney World, Florida.
No, you're Florida.
Okay, well, I'm going to Disneyland tomorrow, you guys, for like 5 days.
You go, girl. Pick some flyers.
Yeah,
so
you print those out.
You just set them down on the tables wherever you go. Go in the ladies' room and leave like a handful of them.
Definitely. And the diaper changing tables.
I tell you what, one time I went to the ladies' room because the men's room was all filled up. I couldn't go anywhere else but the ladies' room. I swear to God, the ladies' room is 10 times cleaner than the men's room.
Oh,
no way.
What?
Always.
No way.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Disney World, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
no,
Disney.
I mean, I was over at a grocery store, and I had to use the ladies' room because the men's room, it was like, there was just too many people there. One of the other toilets was blocked up with crap. And
David, I would love to run into you in the ladies' room.
Why?
I know. Wouldn't that be funny? but
hey,
I'll tell you what, I bartended.
I like, oh, my God, is that mango essence?
I bartended for over 20 years at different bars, and let me tell you, you couldn't pay me enough money to walk into a men's room in a bar.
Right,
that's true. Well, you know, the thing is, when you're desperate and there's no other place to go.
You gotta go.
Not even the men's room, let me tell you, in a bar. I'd rather go outside behind something. It was just,
yeah,
oh my God,
like
it was
disgusting.
Those
little things they throw in the urinal.
Oh.
Urinal cake.
But, you know, I walked in there and it's like, oh my God, is that peach mango essence?
Yeah.
It was the weirdest experience of my life, the cleanest bathroom in the universe.
Yeah, we do have some good bathrooms, especially when I've gone out to Vegas. I mean, did anybody ever see the women's bathroom in the Paris?
No,
I've never been
to Vegas.
Oh, my God. It is unbelievably gorgeous. Oh, my God. It is beautiful. It looks like something like out of France. Pardon?
The ones at the resorts, the upper-end resorts over here at Disney,
mm-hmm.
You can't believe it. You know, beautiful hand towels, not paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
right,
that's
I'm
how
going.
It is over at the Paris.
And
they have
I love
these...
you all. I'm going because I have a very big day tomorrow. And I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to get the word out there into the public.
Do you get in for free at Disney World? That would be cool.
I have an annual pass.
Oh, that's good.
But I have a lot of neighbors that work for Disney. When my son, I also have a 27-year-old son who lives in Georgia. When he comes to visit, they help me get him in. So my younger kids could care less about going.
Part of me, if it wasn't for the soap thing, I would love to be going to Disney this year. But I'm sorry, but everything that Disney's been doing with ABC and the way
if I didn't already have my pass, I wouldn't be going.
Mm.
But I already had my pass.
Yeah.
You know,
but you know
and
what I'm saying?
So,
she's going to do something good, too.
As much as I was a kid, right now, knowing what the business practices of Disney are like and how they're behaving, not just with self, but with the network in general, you know, and with the fans, I'm sorry, but I just can't support a business that behaves the way Disney's been behaving.
But the one good thing about her going there is she's going
to
pass out flyers. She's going to be working
for
us, too.
I got my nice big Disney bag I'm carrying tomorrow, and everywhere I stop, every ride I get out of, they're not going to know where they're coming from. I'm just going to leave them everywhere.
Good girl.
That's my mission.
Besides David, a lot of people have their trips.
I'm sorry. I'm going with some girls that I met. I met my friends that I'm going with tomorrow on the SoapNet chat board. We are the SoapNuts. We are still alive on our thread on the message board. At the very, 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 very bottom, you'll see Super Soap Weekend 2008. That is us. And I just posted about a week ago that, or 2 weeks ago, that I thought I was going to be rallying for Super Soap Weekend to come back, and never dreamed I'd be rallying to save the soap.
Save the soap.
Isn't that something?
But, yeah. So, and on that note, I'm going to say goodnight because you guys are too much fun, and I could sit here and chat with you all night. Thank you
well,
for letting me back.
Call back in. Call back in next Friday night when we have a show.
Well, I'm going to have to because I have to see how California Sunshine did for you.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I need it.
You'll
believe
be
me, I'm sick of rain.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's great to have the way you do the show because this way we can keep in contact with each other and talk about the issues and because, you know, honestly, it's a relief in some ways because of
it
all
is.
The stuff that's going
it
on.
Is.
So thank
it
you
is.
I really enjoyed
for,
this evening's show.
Yeah,
I
liked it too. Yeah.
You provide a wonderful service to all
I wasn't
of,
even
going to
call
viewers.
In.
It was
I wasn't
very
even
going to
call in. This way I gave my fingers
me
a rest, and now my mouth is flapping.
Carly, I wasn't even going to call in this evening, Carly.
Why? Denise, if you don't call in, I am bummed. I'm not a good mood about it.
I thought I was sneaking on, and I couldn't do it. But anyway, okay, one more time. Say goodnight, Denise.
Goodnight,
Denise.
Good night,
guys. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Thank you.
Yes.
You too.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right, so who's left? Me, David, and Carly?
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, David, yes. No, I mean, I just want to say, you know, when we were talking about the protest, it wasn't like, I think I'm so mad at Fonz right now inside. I mean, you know, there was some tuning of emotion with this. And then, you know, this is bad. I can't believe I'm confessing this on my own. But Sunday night when I heard that Bin Laden was killed, okay,
but
who is going to tell?
Oh, that was a fun night. I mean, Norm, the only time I watch ABC when it's not the soaps is when it's Brothers and Sisters, which, by the way, they're saying we'll have only one more year. But I watch that, you know, over the antenna so they don't know I'm watching. And I was in the middle of watching Brothers and Sisters, and all of a sudden it gets interrupted by Osama bin Laden being killed.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the first time in my life that I was actually not pissed that one of my shows got interrupted.
I was watching things. I was TiVoing, and my cell phone texts were going off like crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, who died? That was the first thing I saw before I read it.
Do you remember when Michael Jackson died? Exploded when Michael Jackson died.
Yeah, oh God,
that's how I found out about that, too, with Twitter.
Well, I
wasn't on Twitter at that time.
Well, the Michael Jackson thing is sort of funny, but not. But no, I was recovering from fear of Foster dying earlier that day. Like, I was crying. I was not. I mean, I loved fear of Foster, so I used a whole box of Kleenexes, thinking how sad and everything. And then 2 o'clock, Kia was around. I had the new hospital on, and something good was actually happening. And they broke in saying, Michael Jackson is rushed to the hospital. And, okay, forgive me, people, I really thought, okay, he's faking something because of his England, too. So
I
did not believe.
Before they found out he was actually dead, people were vicious on Twitter. They were saying cracks like, oh, he passed out, so they're just going to take him to a soap hospital for him to revive. They were saying crap
yeah,
like
and
that.
I didn't hear anything except when he had actually died. I mean, I just happened to turn the TV on, and I saw that he died, and I thought, what is this, a joke? Because I had just heard about Farrah Fawcett. And I thought, there's no possible way. Is somebody playing a joke, or what's going on here? And here I found out he actually died.
People
were unbelievable.
Dropping like flies. People were dropping like flies. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing was, that day, there were like five people that said that was to be died at. You know, Sean Penn was on that list. Some other names, too. And I'm like thinking, you know, and earlier in the weekend, McMahon died. Like a couple of days, I'm like, what is going on? And so with the Michael Jackson thing, freaked me out, but with Bin Laden on Sunday, my texts were getting blown up like crazy. And I was reading, and one of my friends said, Obama, Bin Laden died. I'm like, Obama died? Obama's been killed too?
No,
like,
no.
Yeah,
but, you know,
and then...
It's funny, because on the news, everyone was scrambling to try and say Osama, and instead they would say Obama.
I know,
yep,
I know.
Yep,
I know.
Yep.
It's hard to say it because you're so used to saying Obama now that when you try to say Osama, Obama comes out.
Yeah, and then so what was not funny in my part, I'm thinking, okay, people, you know, the U.S. did a great job digging Obama out. I know this is going to sound horrible what I'm about to say. I bet you two know what I'm going to say. I'm like lying on my bed thinking, the Army, Navy, whatever, why can't you just take funds out for us?
God,
you know.
Well, you know, the thing is about Osama bin Laden, and I just want to say this for the record, that I do not find joy. I don't find any pleasure in the fact that he died. If anything, I find a sense of relief because every time that he would come up with some new way to drive people crazy, it was like another shoe being dropped. And although it's sad that he was killed, you know, a waste of life is a waste of life, even if it's someone who spent his life orchestrating the waste of a lot of people's lives. It's just to me that it's sort of like, thank God, no more shoes are going to drop from him.
Well, but that's just it. That's just it from him. There's too many others out there. My son is in the Marines, and he's deployed.
Right.
He's deployed right now. And you know how much fear I have every single day? Because it's not just Obama or Osama.
Not,
there we go.
The thing is, you know, Osama bin Laden, he was one of the main orchestrators of the September 11th attack.
Right.
And you know, the thing is, we have not been able to catch him for almost 10 years, waiting
that's what
to find
me.
Out. Yeah, that was what really bugged me the most. And honestly, I would prefer to have captured alive, so he could stand trial for everything he's pulled. You know, let justice have its, you know, day. But at the same time, it's a relief. The relief that he's dead, because.
Right.
This way, you're going to be sure that he's not going to get an appeal.
I know, right? At least
we don't have to worry about any of his ideas still popping up. There are going to be other people, of course, trying to take the void. But the point is that he was a major problem for almost 10 years. We will be hearing Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, you know, all the Taliban. We'd be hearing, you know, his name pop up every time.
Right.
I was just relieved that I don't have to hear his name again. He's dead. Buried at sea.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people out there that don't believe he's dead. There's a lot of people out there that don't believe he's dead.
Well, I for one, I'm grateful. I'm actually amused that he was buried at sea because if you look at it, burial at sea is one of the cheapest ways to bury someone. That just says something about how much Obama valued Osama bin Laden's life. Give him a cheap burial at sea.
Well, not only, but you know what, too? That's actually an honor to be buried at sea through the military. So in a way, I don't think he deserved that type of burial. But then again, who wants him buried on their land? I don't want him buried here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right. You know, who would want to have him in a church graveyard or something? God help us.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
it's an honor to be buried at sea, so I don't see that as being a good thing in a way.
I can't believe some people think that he's still alive. Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, lots of people.
Well, another thing is people still think Elvis is alive.
I know, right? And those are probably the same people that believe that Osama's still alive.
Well, you mean Osama.
I actually have one of my friends.
I never could quite figure out why they would change his name around. It was either spelled O or U. Osama. That would be crazy. Pick one.
Yeah.
When I saw it spelled with a U the other day, and I don't even remember which channel it was because I was watching CNN and I was watching Fox and that, and I saw it with the U, and I thought, well, wait a minute, is it Osama bin Laden that's been killed or a relative of his
because
it was spelled with a U?
It started out as U, then it changed to O for some reason, and, you know, I don't get it. I can't explain it.
Maybe it's the English version and the Afghanistan version. I don't know. Who knows?
What
I do know is I actually listened on the radio a while back. This was on Sirius Satellite Radio when I used to have Sirius. And there was a special report on CNN that was done on Osama's life. And it's interesting because he originally was a very peaceful man until he got hooked up with an extremist concepts of religion. Okay, he did a complete 180. He used to be a peace activist. He used to be someone who valued peace, but you know, almost like Gandhi. But then he turned around 180 degrees and became an extremist terrorist.
Huh? Yeah, I must have missed that because I don't remember seeing anything about that.
Yeah, he originally.
Yeah, man.
He originally was a very peaceful man, and he, you know, he wouldn't have hurt a fly, he, people said, way back when. But then he got into religion. He found religion, I guess you could say, and became an extremist fundamentalist on it and started Al-Qaeda, a militant form of the Muslim faith.
Okay.
And it's kind of sad in a way how religion can twist people around, or rather man's perception of religion can twist some people around and turn them completely different from what they were before. You know, sometimes man's views on religion aren't always the best thing in the universe.
Right.
You know, that's why I just say, thank you, God, for this day. And please forgive me if I screw up too badly.
Yeah.
Because there's always tomorrow, as long as I still have a pulse.
Well, on a good note, I just got a friend request from Catherine Hicklin on Facebook because I Twittered her and I sent her a direct message about, you know, this thing coming up in June with the daytime awards and how we're trying to get something together and we could use her advice or help or whatever. So I sent her a message, so she must have read it.
Yeah, she was on the show.
She
was on the show earlier, and it was nice to have her on the show.
I listened to it. I spoke with Eileen Kristen and I spoke with Jill Larson, but I didn't get to speak to
I feel so bad for Blair with dealing with Jack. And I'm just glad that now she's got some support with Jack with Todd. Todd's backing her the entire way on how to punish Jack on this, and I'm grateful for that.
Well, that's
doing
what I heard, but don't blow it for me because I taped today's show. I had to go to court.
Yeah,
so
do not blow it either, David. David, you're going to get the woman mad at you.
But I'm just saying that I'm glad she's not alone in dealing with Jack anymore, that Todd is, you know, actually being a father in this case for once.
Yeah, because
I heard he said
something about, well, wait till Dad wakes up, he'll be on my side or something like that,
oh, yeah,
or he'll be
Jack
proud
said.
Of me.
That was Jack's exact words. And then, surprise, his dad wakes up, and it's, what the heck are you doing?
Okay, good.
Good, because, you know, but I still don't get why. You know, I know that a lot of people love Walter House, but I love Trevor St. John, so, I mean... Let Walter come back as something else.
I want him to come back as somebody else as well.
I cannot
see anybody else as Todd. I mean, at first when Roger left, I couldn't see anybody taking his place. But Trevor St. John fit in, and he made that part his. He made it his. And now I can't see Roger coming back.
Well, you know what I think it is? I think what's going to happen is Roger's going to come back, and it's going to turn out that that both of them are related somehow. They're brothers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Brothers or cousins or something, and they're nearly identical, so they switch places or whatnot because, you know, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Because I think Todd at one point had gotten into so much trouble, that he had to go into hiding.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah,
I guess we have to wait and find out.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that there's this thing with Trevor St. John and what's his name, Roger Howard, is going to be interesting to watch. And I hear it's coming up soon. I don't know when, but I hear it's coming up soon. It's going to be unusual to watch. I just hate the fact that we're getting all this great stuff now, okay? And
right.
And then Franz pulls the rug out from under us.
Right.
For money. And, you know, the funny thing is he's crying poor. He's crying poor. And yet he's spending $20 million to get Katie Couric to have a talk show.
You know why? I think that is not going to happen. I don't think that is really going to happen.
How can he pony up $20 million when he's trying to cut costs by canceling the soap and putting up these reality lifestyle shows? Like, you know what I'm saying? By saving 40% of the production budget, that still doesn't equal $20 million. Nor does it validate having to pay $20 million. Where's that money coming from? I'm telling you.
Well, how about just getting rid of some of these useless people, characters that are on the soaps? How much money would
save?
Exactly.
And this is what I was saying earlier on the boards, and it's on Twitter. And I was saying that I think that Gloria Monty's children are running the money in questioning ABC's financials, because if they've been cooking the books on more than just General Hospital, we're going to find out about it pretty darn soon.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Because, honestly, that's the only thing that makes any sense to all this ridiculous, I mean, blowing money on Katie Couric, whose ratings tanked on CBS in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And canceling the soaps, which have been around for, for years, for decades, which have a strong following, try and save money, and yet you're blowing this $20 million on Kirk. It doesn't add up. It just simply does not add up to me. And I'm suspecting, this is my belief, is that ABC's financials they should be called into question.
Right.
They're suspect at best.
Right. And I want to say, too, that as much as I can't stand the devil Franz himself, he's got bosses. So, he's not doing this himself. He's got people that are backing him up.
All I'm saying, so this is about what people who are listening to the show ought to do, is follow the money. Ask questions.
Exactly.
Because this doesn't smell right.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? Okay, what doesn't feel right is, come on, you know there had to be money to bring BM back. You know there had to be money to pay Anthony, Steve Bouton, all those Susan Lucy, Erica Slazak, you know that. So where in the hell are you going to get $20 million for Katie Couric? That doesn't make sense.
Right.
No, it doesn't. And you know, the thing is, The best part of all this is ABC's ratings have been in a free fall since this whole thing started. They are in denial over it. They're trying to spin it. But if you look at the numbers, daytime is affecting primetime, and they are sinking like the Titanic.
They are. I'm looking at the Nielsen ratings for Thursday right now on Silver Soapers, and they have Fox at 4.7. They have CBS at 2.5, they have ABC at 2.4, and they have NBC at 2.0.
Right.
So
what I'm
ABC
saying is
always they've been consistent
in
third.
Even the CW is getting higher ratings.